This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Well, some of you will remember or recognize the name Rosie Ruiz from history. I'm told that there's a couple of specific details in the story I'm sharing that may not be correct, but the essence of the story is true. Rosie Ruiz was a woman who wanted to cross the finish line of a marathon or race. There was only one problem. She didn't want to run the race. Let's look at part one of this message from 1 Corinthians 9:24 to 27. Unless you're a runner and you've run competitively, marathoning, that kind of thing, and I'm not, you may not be familiar with a woman by the name of Rosie Ruiz. Goes back to 1979-1980. Rosie Ruiz was a runner in first the New York Marathon in 1979 and then the Boston Marathon in 1980. She's the woman that allegedly was running in the first marathon in New York, fall of 1979, just drops out of the race, gets on a subway to go get her car or to meet some people where we're at the end of the race, gets out of the subway. She still has her outfit on, still has her number, registering the number of the person she was. She walks across the finish line and one of the officials writes down her number, fourth in the women's division. After that experience, she realized, well, when coming to the Boston Marathon, about 6 months later, she does the same thing. She registers for the race. She gets her number. She starts the race like everybody else, but she dropped out of the race and somehow made arrangements to get to the end of the race, and she did it a little too quickly. Instead of monitoring who was finishing first and so forth, she walks or runs across the finish line, the winner, in 1980. And of course, eventually the award was taken away from her and given to someone else when they found out that she was a fraud. But here's the thought. One author said this: Rosie Ruiz wanted to walk across the finish line. She just didn't want to do the race. And when I heard that years ago, I remember thinking that's the way a lot of folks are in the United States of America spiritually. We all want to cross the finish line. We all want to make it to heaven. That's the goal of every person, usually, most people. We want to make it to the afterlife, and we want to be in a positive position there. And yet, we don't want to run the race. And you say, why are you talking about Rosie Ruiz and the marathon and the race? For this simple reason. The Apostle Paul, in the passage we study in Corinthians, compares the Christian life to a race. In the city of Corinth, they had what was called every other year, I believe, the Isthmian Games. There were races, just like the Olympics. And so the people of Corinth, along with the Apostle Paul, were familiar with the imagery of running and boxing and all the other sports that would go along in these Olympic-like games. And so Paul says, we're all in a race, not for the purpose of winning, but for the purpose of finishing it. And I think it'll speak to you today. We're in 1 Corinthians 9, running the race that matters. Paul says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air, talking about shadow boxing. No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will qualify for the prize.
Well, you may have known someone who wanted to cross the finish line in a race. They just didn't want to run the race. That may speak to you in a powerful way. This message from 1 Corinthians 9:24 to 27 continues tomorrow on Cross Hope. Our website, of course, is crosshope.org.
Paul evidently was familiar with the athletics of the day. Perhaps he was an athlete in his younger days, but he fully understood the symbolism and the significance of running a race, and he makes the application under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. As a Christian, we're running in a race. But get this, this is really important. We're not running to beat the person next to us. You're not competing with the person behind you or in front of you. We're running the race to finish it.
to complete the race. That's the spiritual lesson that I want you to go home with if you don't go home with anything else. Let's bring up verse 25. I want to talk about this verse before I give you some lessons out of this passage. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. I was asked years ago a question that I'd never have been asked before. I've never been asked since. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not sure I gave the right answer, but I'm going to tell you the answer I gave to this question that was asked years ago. What is the hardest thing, Randy, for you to convince people of as a minister? Is it the resurrection? Is that the hardest thing to convince people that Jesus really did rise from the dead? And I shook my head and said, no, I don't think that's the hardest thing. Well, Randy, is the hardest thing you have to convince people of is that there really is a heaven and there really is a hell? No, I really don't think that's the issue. I think I surprised the person, but here's the answer I gave, right or wrong. I said, I think the hardest thing that I have to convince people of is that what is temporary really is temporary. And what is permanent or eternal really is eternal. Listen to that again. The hardest thing to convince people of is that which is temporary really is temporary, and that which is eternal really is eternal, for this reason. We live in a culture, in my opinion, where people are brainwashed that the temporary or the temporal is everything. You have a right to get what's coming to you. And we have been conditioned that we need to get all we can get in this life, even as Christians. And so the hardest lesson, at least in my opinion, is to believe that what is temporary really is temporal. It's of this world. It won't last. But what's eternal, what is eternal will last. And that is what really matters in life. I want to just give you three things. They're not going to come up on the screen, but I'd like for you to write down three phrases in your notes. Number one, all the runners run. That's the first lesson out of this passage. All the runners run. We're all participants. You're familiar with the military situation, particularly with Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. We understand military things maybe more in Dayton, Ohio than a lot of towns do. But in the military, you have the reserves and you have the National Guard. And we're familiar with the concept of having people in reserve. They can be called up, especially in Iraq today and in Afghanistan. We've learned that, but they're in reserve. Listen carefully. As a Christian, there's no such thing in the kingdom of God as being in the reserves. We're all active duty. It has nothing to do with your age. It has nothing to do with your position and the culture. We are all in active duty serving the Lord. Every young person, every teenager, every adult, every senior adult, we're all in active duty as members of the kingdom of God. Remember, a kingdom is any place where a king reigns. And the kingdom of God is any heart where Jesus Christ is Lord. If Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life, then you're in the kingdom of God. And we are on active duty. All the runners run.
Well, recently in CrossHope, we told you can find us on iTunes. Just look for the address bar, put in CrossHope, and you can listen to us on iTunes. Our website, of course, crosshope.org. Look at that. Look at visual stories. There are things to not only listen to, but to watch on crosshope.org. Now then, today on CrossHope, part 3 of a message we began on Monday from 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27 about running the race.
Secondly, I want you to write this down, if you will. We have a goal. You say, our goal is heaven. Well, yes, it is. We want to spend eternity with Christ, and that's a valid goal. But our goal, hopefully, is to reproduce Christ in our life on this earth. Did you know that part of being a believer in Jesus Christ is that people are supposed to be able to look at you and supposed to be look at me and say, I think I see Jesus Christ in him or in her. You may be the only Bible that some people come in contact with, and I know that sounds strange to hear that, but it's true. Meaning what? The only scriptural contact they experience in life is what comes out of your mouth. Maybe the only Bible that some people have contact with. You may be, in a sense, the only Jesus that people come in contact with. How is it that people are to see Christ on this earth? They see it in the lives of believers. People like you and people like me. So not only are all the runners run and we're in the race, we have a goal to reproduce Christ in this life. Edwin Muir was an author who wrote about what happened in World War II after the war. And he remembers being in Europe, seeing all the thousands and thousands of refugees who left their hometowns and were gone for 4 years. And then the time came when the war was over, there were just streams of people with carts trying to find their way back home to see if they even had a home left. And Edward Muir would write this, so many of them looked like people on a journey from nowhere to nowhere. What a phrase. They looked like they were on a journey from nowhere to nowhere. Listen, that describes how people are in the United States of America. People you work with who are on a journey from nowhere to nowhere. People in your neighborhood journey from nowhere to nowhere. They don't know where they're going. Don't talk to them about eternity. They don't know what's going to happen next month, let alone in eternity. They're on a journey, in a figurative sense, from nowhere to nowhere. There may be people in your own family that are on a journey from nowhere to nowhere. Let's really make it personal. That may have described your life up until recently. But as a believer in Jesus Christ, you're not on a journey from nowhere to nowhere. You're on a journey with the Lord. He not only is the one you go to, he's with you in the journey. That's the powerful part of the lesson. The Lord's with you in the journey and on the journey. Thirdly, the race lasts all of our life, not part of our life. You know, the Lord didn't call you to serve him for a few years until you found something better. He didn't call you and he didn't call me to follow the Lord until we get mad, until we get disgruntled. He didn't call us till we decide that, well, we've had enough and that's all we're going to do. The Bible says in Revelation 2:10, be faithful unto death. We have been called to be faithful to the Lord God Almighty all of our lives. It comes and it is to last till death. Jim Elliot was the husband of Elizabeth Elliot. Jim Elliot was one of five or six missionaries who were martyred in Ecuador in South America, landed a small plane on a riverbank in Ecuador, were greeted by some Aka Indians who weren't sure who these men were. They came to spread the gospel, but they were murdered. They were all speared to death, including Jim Elliot. Powerful story, unbelievable story.
Well, we're out of time, but I want you to hear this story of Jim Elliot about what he said in college before his death. It will speak to you powerfully about this passage from 1 Corinthians 9. Our website, of course, is crosshope.org. Go there to look at visual stories. Find out more about this ministry on crosshope.org.
But Jim Elliot, when he was in college, would write this in his diary. The Lord makes his servants a flame of fire. Am I ignitable? What a sentence. The Lord makes his servants a flame of fire. Am I ignitable? Lord, deliver me from the asbestos of other things. Lord, deliver me from the asbestos of other things. What does that mean? There's supposed to be a spiritual flame of fire in your life as a believer of Jesus Christ, but there's so much in my life and so much in your life that's like asbestos putting out the fire. And here's the rhetorical question I would ask you. What's the asbestos in your life? You say, what do you mean by that? What is it that is working to put out the spiritual fire in your life right now? It could be somebody, a person in your life. It could be something you own. It can be something you do. It can be a hobby. There's something in your life that in your spirit, you know that's the asbestos in my life that's putting out the flame. He calls his servants to be flames of fire. Am I ignitable? Jim Elliot said, Lord, deliver me from the asbestos of other things. I want to tell you an interesting story. This is not meant as a criticism of the person I'm talking about. I had an interesting funeral situation happen early in my ministry in Columbus. I want to tell you about it. I've only talked about this one other time at another church because it's just different. It's a different kind of story. I was called to conduct the funeral of a woman I'd never met, and she'd never darkened the door of the church. That's not uncommon. I get called to do funerals, and I'm glad to do funerals of people I don't know. Funeral's an opportunity to minister to people in a way that you can't minister to people at a wedding. I mean, I know this sounds crazy, but I mean it. If you gave me a choice, Randy, would you rather do a wedding or a funeral this week? I'll take the funeral. Why? Because I enjoy sadness? No, but because it's an opportunity to minister to people. So I agreed to do this funeral, and mind you, I was the first minister that this church had ever had in Columbus, so I was there from the beginning, and I knew that she had never been to the church. So you can imagine how surprised I was when I pick up the Columbus Dispatch, and I open up the obituary page either the day of or the day before the funeral, and I'm reading this woman's obituary just to check the details of it and learn a little bit about her, and it says right in the obituary, member, Madison Christian Church, the church I served. I thought, well, that's interesting. I've never seen her here. I know she's not a member. I know everybody who is. I know everybody at the church here. And so I just casually, not in a critical way, not in a judgmental way, I just said to the family, you know, I read the obituary today and I saw that so-and-so, she's listed as a member of the church. And one of the family members said, oh, we know. We hope you're not bothered by that, Randy. We just wanted her connected to a church. Now think about that. We just wanted her connected to a church. You know what it reminded me of? Walking across the finish line without running the race. You know what? There are a lot of people like that spiritually. It's not just her. I know a lot of people who want to walk across the finish line and say, Lord, where's heaven? How do I get there? Where do I check in at? But they don't give Jesus Christ the time of day. For 60, 70 years, they don't acknowledge the Lord in any shape or fashion. And yet, when we come to the end of our life, we realize why we were put here in the first place, and we want to walk across the finish line. I don't say that judgmentally at all. I understand why the family did it. They were reaching out for something spiritually.
Well, may it never be said of you or me that we wanted to walk across the finish line without competing in the race. Our message will continue tomorrow. Our website, of course, is crosshope.org. It's one word, crosshope.org. Well, today we conclude the message we began on Monday with a story of Rosie Ruiz. Remember the woman who ran in the Boston Marathon, who crossed the finish line, but unfortunately she didn't run the race as she was supposed to run the race. It's an interesting story. We close with a similar story that has a powerful punch or message to it as well. As we continue this message and conclude the message from 1 Corinthians 9, 24-27, where Paul says, run the race, cross the line to be with the Lord forever. God bless you as you listen. Our website, of course, crosshope.org.
I began talking about Rosie Ruiz. I'm going to talk about a similar person, but a totally different outcome. The year before, Rosie Ruiz was in her race at the Boston Marathon and the New York Marathon. On television, there was a made-for-TV movie that starred Joanne Woodward. Joanne Woodward is the wife of Paul Newman. The movie was called See How She Runs, based on a true story. In the story, Joanne Woodward plays a 40-year-old divorced teacher from Boston who decides to become a jogger and eventually enters the 26-mile Boston Marathon. To finish the race became her goal, and in spite of problems and difficulties in doing so, she did not lose sight of her goal. The day of the race came, and she faced her ultimate test. As she ran, huge blisters developed on her feet. She was hit and injured by a bicycle, and several miles short of the finish line found her utterly exhausted, yet she kept going. Then within a few hundred yards of the finish line, late at night, when most of the other runners had either finished or dropped out, she fell and lay flat on her face, too tired to raise her head. But her friends had put up a crude tape across the finish line that had already been taken down earlier that day. And the friends put out the tape and began to cheer her on. She lifted her head with great effort, saw the tape, and realized her goal was within sight. With a supreme effort, she got up on her bruised and bleeding feet, and in a burst of energy, dredged up from deep inside her soul, she ran the last few yards. She had kept her eyes on the goal, and for the joy of finishing, she endured. She endured. I tell that for this reason. That is a parable of what your life and my life is to be like.
It's not about winning the race. It's about finishing the race.
It's not about you. It's about fixing your eyes on Jesus, Hebrews says, the author and the finisher of your faith. And it's not about the race, ultimately. It's not about us. It's about the Christ that we focus upon. Someday, you and I will stand before the Lord. And the greatest comment that could be made is not, you are a great achiever. Well, you are successful in what you did. You were a spiritual giant. That's not the greatest thing that could be said about you. It's just to hear the Lord say, welcome home, faithful servant. Welcome home, faithful servant. You crossed the line and you ran the race. Welcome home. Decide today that you're going to recognize that you're in the race and all the runners run. Everybody participates. Decide today that we have a goal and it's not just heaven, it's to reproduce Jesus Christ in our lives. Decide today that the race lasts all of our lives, not for a few years or even a few decades, all of our life, and to realize that we are to focus our lives on Christ, the author and finisher of our faith.
Well, I really mean this when I say I hope this message spoke to you in a powerful, personal way. Our website is crosshope.org. Be sure and look at it today, crosshope.org.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.